Man is a hungry, thirsty, eating, drinking creature. In fact, we can only live a few days without water, without drinking, and only a few weeks without eating. In fact, we see this with a baby, a newborn baby. Within minutes from emerging from the womb at childbirth, the newborn finds nourishment at the breast of his mother. Within just minutes, that baby begins the process of suckling. And when not sleeping, the first few weeks of that newborn child, as the littles certainly know, is spent mostly being nourished, mostly eating, mostly nursing and receiving the life-giving nourishment of its mother's milk. And as a grown child and into the adult years, eating and drinking remains a necessary aspect of sustenance, of receiving energy and physical nutrition necessary for sustaining life. Yes, man is indeed a hungry and thirsty, eating, drinking creature. In fact, from the very beginning, this is the way that God has wired us. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. Now, he certainly could have created them such that they had their own internal sort of nuclear power plant that wouldn't require eating and drinking. But God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the midst of the garden. There in paradise, God said to them, this was from Genesis 1, verse 29, God says to them, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." For food. The world, Eden, paradise, the world itself was a banquet table for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were literally to partake, to take in the world, to consume the very world in which they had been placed. But this physical, materialistic act of eating was not an end to itself. It was never intended that the eating and drinking of Adam and Eve was simply to satiate this natural hunger and thirst of man. But rather, Adam and Eve were created as hungry and thirsty beings so that they might receive the fruits. They might receive the fruits of the earth, the gifts of God, offering their lives back in thanksgiving to God, who was the very source and essence of their life and being. And it was in the continual need, not just once in a while, not just once a year or once a month, but in the daily need to eat and drink, that this Eucharistic communion with God was continually affirmed and renewed. It was a continual rite of receiving and consuming the fruits of the world in order to receive the very life of the world. The life of the world, which was found in none other than God himself, who created all things. So from the very beginning, there was the sacramental exchange. Sacramental exchange between God, who created, and his creation. There was a sacramental exchange between God and man. Man's communion with God was mediated through the physical act of eating and drinking. This natural, continual dependence upon the world and its fruits was then transformed back into a communion with God. And receiving the fruits of the earth, which God had given out of his love, out of his benevolent and divine love, Adam and Eve participated in a priestly act of offering the world, which nourished them, back to God, whereby they then, in exchange, received the gift of life. And communing in the presence of God, the very essence of life, they, in offering the world back to God, received the gift of life, an eternal life in perpetual communion with God. And this priestly act was renewed and regenerated every time they came to the table to satisfy that hunger and thirst, such that hunger, this hunger and thirst, continually drove man to find his life in God. But something went very wrong, we know, right? In the garden was a single tree, just one tree, that was off limits. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had told them that if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. The fruit of the tree, it wasn't that it was poisonous in its essence, but the fruit of this tree was condemned, because the fruit of this tree was communion with itself and not with God. And for Adam and Eve, who succumbed to the enticements of the serpent, that is, of Satan, in eating the forbidden fruit, this meant death. Because the eating of the fruit became communion with self, cut off from Him who gives life to the world. Or as Alexander Schmemann, the great Orthodox theologian and seminary professor of the late 20th century, writes, it was not offered as a gift to man, not given, not blessed by God. It was food whose eating was condemned to be communion with itself alone and not with God. It is the image of the world, love for itself. And eating it is the image of life understood as an end of itself. You see, the eating, the fall, really has to do with a departure from this communion that was established in the simple act of eating. And this departure, this fall, once again, had to do with eating. But it was eating a forbidden fruit, a fruit that represented communion with self, a life in this world completely cut off from Him who is the life of the world, such that we enter death. The cosmic result is death. A life cut off from the very life of the world, from Him who offers us His divine love and the fruits of the created order as a sacrament of His life-giving presence. And the rest of salvation history is recorded in Holy Scriptures is really God's endeavor to save man from this fallen human condition, to repair this broken relationship, and to restore us once again to communion with Him who gives life. And it is through that same divinely created need for food and drink that God begins to lure us back to Himself. In fact, as we have passed the halfway point of the season of Great Lent, we should begin to understand something about the wisdom of the church in requiring us to fast. You see, to induce hunger, to take part in this ascetic practice isn't just for the sake of asceticism itself. It's not a sort of a psychological self-flagellation, but rather it is to induce this sense of hunger. It is intended to drive us back through these natural appetites that we have into a priestly Eucharistic communion with God, who is the life of the world. And this is why we come to today's gospel lesson. from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is reminiscent for those that would have known the Old Testament scriptures. This was reminiscent, first hearkening back to Elias, who had 100 people to feed, and with just 20 barley loaves, this is from 2 Kings, if you remember, with just 20 barley loaves, he blessed them and gave them. And even to the skepticism of those that were there who said that those 20 loaves could never feed these 100 people, we saw the multiplication of those barley loaves. And then in the book of 2 Samuel, in the 4th chapter, when Saul had fled the presence, David had fled the presence of King Saul, who had grown mad and was seeking to kill David. David, in fleeing and wandering with his men, became hungry. And they came to the local priest there at Nob, and they asked for food. And the priest said, "The only food I have is the showbread, the bread in the presence of God upon the table." And this was forbidden by Levitical law to be eaten, to be consumed, except by the priest. In fact, it would be on Sunday that five freshly baked loaves would be placed upon the table. And there they would remain representative and iconic, the presence, the very presence of God in the tabernacle. And then after the Sabbath, or upon the Sabbath, the priest would eat. And fresh bread then on Sunday would be baked and placed again. But David asked for 5 loaves. And the priest relented, and the men were fed with the 5 loaves of showbread that were forbidden except for the priests. And so this account of the feeding of the 5,000 would certainly hearken back to these stories of those who were in need being fed miraculously. And here Jesus gathers, and there are many people. He goes up on a mountain by the Sea of Galilee, and when he went up, it says that the Passover was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw this great multitude that had come to him. And so he said, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said this.